to connect mind and hearts. It's only 30 centimeters, right? But it's probably the longest journey we will do in our life. There is no computers in our meetings. Email is like the last channel to use for communication.
Welcome to Pyramid to Circles. This podcast is for the leaders and for the change makers who have the goal of evolving their company
towards more collective intelligence, more empowerment,
more self-organization, but asking themselves how to make this happen, where to start, and how to get inspiration from others.
Pyramid to Circles.
Today, I am particularly grateful to receive a guest who is one of these top leaders who bring a wind of change in conventional and large organizations. One of these people who have a vision and make self-management and collective intelligence a new normal. We need these pioneers, these first movers, because they shape new norms. They prime new habits in their teams and in the society because they make us experience that we have a greater potential than we think and that people can be trusted and autonomous if you create the right conditions. Our intention in this episode is to learn from her experience and hopefully get a lot of inspiration and new ideas. Welcome, Pernilla Wickman. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very happy to talk to you. We know each other a little bit and I'm very inspired by everything you're doing. So I can't wait to hear from you. Where are you as we speak?
Today I am at home because we have a bit of a day off here in Sweden. So I'm located in Sweden and in Stockholm.
Excellent. Let me introduce you shortly. You work at Telia, the big Swedish telco company, and you have a leadership position as you have the role of vice president, head of global business. You manage a large team across several countries, and you have created the conditions for your teams to be autonomous and self-managing. So you're going to talk about that. And the human approach reflects also in the way you see the business. You're driven by human values and sustainability values. Your vision is to create a technology truly serves humans. Anything you want to add to that?
I don't know what to add additionally. Maybe the only thing I could add is that I was born with a very curiosity soul and mind. So that is how I came into tech 20 years ago. I was not tech educated, but I was so curious upon the movement that technology could create for humanity. That is probably why I came into tech.
So technology is changing, and I guess the company and your business you're in is changing a lot. So we understand the big stake changes in telco, fiber, 4G, 5G, digitalization. Everything is changing in your business. So could you tell us about those business challenges that lead you to change the culture, that lead you to think we should do things differently? I'm very curious about, so you can understand, you know, what are the drivers for change in your context? And then we're going to go more into how you do it.
So I think it's like two layers of it. It's like, first of all, it comes to the change that comes inside from myself, right? Because that is how change starts, I think. And if we go outside in the external, there's so many different things that is changing right now and or has been the latest year. So it's about how do we digitalize, and digitalization is mainly a human driven thing about how do we want to control ourselves, how do we want to get more into services that is tailored to our own needs. So digitalization requires a lot of change, right? And then the whole uncertainty in the world that we are living in, and which has been for the last, I think we have seen that more in the last 2 years than ever, right? All of this type of things drive complexity, and not at least to mention sustainability, that we need to do more with less. If that are some of the things that is like happening in the utter world, then we need to think about how do we redesign our organization and our way of working together. Because if we go back the last 2 years, thinking about the change in our lifestyles as humans, there is a pretty big need to also start to mirror the organization and our work life according to the awareness that we do have today about our human needs. It's several things that is driving this. First, it comes from myself upon the change that I would like to see from my type of values, but also like the external world, of course. And we need to do more with less, that we know. So that is like one of the reasons. And of course, technology is a great enabler for this. But digitalization is not only technology, right? Technology is nothing if we are not changing how we are living our lives and how we are coming together and how we are consuming services and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So you say we need to change the organization to meet with the complexity, the different changes of people's way of life, the digitalization. Telia, if I remember correctly, is a 170 years old company.
Yeah, next year we are.
Next year, okay. Yeah. 169 years old company.
Yeah.
So I guess that company, like many, can think about in our world, they carry a strong culture inherited from the past, probably based on the hierarchy, you will tell us. And yet you are bringing a new culture based on self-organization and empowerment. So just first of all, what is the recipe that you are applying, but also how does this new culture you try to bring is landing in this organization? How do you bring the change in a very old and traditional culture, if I can put it this way? I don't know if it's a good way to qualify Telia, but in a conventional culture.
So I think it's a big question of how do you reinvent something new in something old, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that is completely correct. Telia is a company that has a very long history of connecting people, also abroad Sweden, right? That also means the whole culture is also based on innovation, because a company with this type of life age always need to reinvent themselves, right? So that means that it is also a culture that is open for trying out stuff and being a pioneer. I'm heading a business unit that goes across 6 countries, as you said. Then, of course, this is about a lot when it comes to handling complexity. I also have, as many business leaders, of course, I have the responsibility to really look into how do we design for the best? Is it so that we, all of our effort, do we get out the highest potential? So that was how I started off and realized that running something that is very, very complex across not only countries, it's also companies, and it's also like partners, and it's like cultures, it's multifunctional and so on. We need to find a new way of working. That is nothing that is against the other system. I call it systems, right? But you need to be aware, how do you interact with a organization that we will probably come into more later on? How do that type of way of working and the design interact with the rest of the organization? So it's like you need to carry both perspective, but you can for certainly invent something that is new into something that is old, because then it also becomes integrated. And I have not the recipe for it yet. We are like 2 years into this journey. But sometimes I think that if you are not reinventing into what is like the...
Yeah.
So it's like when you are doing an organ transplantation, that the body, more or less the immune system, push it out. And that is also what I have seen when I looked into how innovation is driven in many other companies. And then I thought that it must be possible to reinvent something into the mothership directly, because I think that is more long lasting and becomes more sustainable. But I don't know yet, but you need to be aware of how do you interact with the rest of the organization, for sure. And of course, delivering on all of the results.
So of course, delivering, no question, delivering the result, but also thinking if you reorganize a part of the organization, how it will interact, and how keeping in mind the need and the importance of the interface with the rest of the organization and taking care of that. And then within, as long as you take care of that, then you can, within the cell of your part of the organization, then you can rethink the way things work and the ways of working and the culture. I'd love to ask you, because we say self-management, autonomy, etc. How does this look like in your context? What do you mean by self-organization? Concretely, does it mean people are working in circles? What does it mean self-managing in your case? Do they have their own budget? What is the level of autonomy compared to you? And of course, they are part of a larger organization, so in some ways they have to deliver their overall strategy anyway. If you could describe for our audience so they understand what you mean what we mean here in this context of Telia.
Actually, if I take it from how I describe it and how we talk about it, we are talking about teaming. We are not really using the word self-managing. We are talking about empowerment and how do we team up, and where is the perspective that we need to have, and where is my curiosity? Where do I want to learn more? So that is like the culture that we would like to build, because one of the things that at least have struck me is that word matters so much. So, and we have so different type of interpretation if we talk about agile, self-organized, autonomy and so on. It needs to be words, at least for us, that resonate with us. So that is how we speak about it. How practically do we do it? So that means extremely, extremely practical. Now I will try to describe our way of working. So we have everything that we are developing, and main part of the organization are developing things, improving daily the customer experience in so many different ways. We work on marketing, offering, product processes, commercial terms, and you name it, and how we are doing the negotiation and how we improve our services pages with service descriptions and so on and so on. All of these type of improvements based on what are the customer needs, we have gathered like direction what we need to improve. And that means then that we have around 5 different type of streams right now that we are working on. And why I say right now is because we are in the middle of a change. So when we started this off, we had 8. And what we decided then was an objective for, we call this streams, or you can call it cells, or you can call it networks. So we had an objective of the stream stating, this is what we would like to achieve. This is our ambition. And based on that one, we collected the people with the competence that we thought that this will contribute to the ambition. And then we open up the doors for others to join based on curiosity or if you would like to learn. And what we mean with open up is really that these are streams that have an ambition. They are completely open. And then we have built this type of collaboration platform. So everyone, and then I mean everyone in the company, not only in the unit of global business, can see the objective and can see what are the type of movements, because we call it movements, and that is what we are measuring. What are the movements that we are working on? And then you could actually add yourself into the stream. So this, how we started to establish the stream was with the ambition, and then we had the people coming together. That is not led by an line manager. It is the people that is coming together, and they were looking into 2 things from the beginning. First, it was, what are the bright spots, which easily translated goes to, what are we good at? What is working well today? Because the culture that we believe in are the culture that you should put the, like, the light on the things that is working well and work on the strengths. So we would like to flourish those even more. Then we took on the other side, we looked into, so what is our weaknesses and where do we have some pitfalls that we need to be aware of? And then we used this type of, we called it like a network canvas, where we looked into everything from way of working. We looked into how should we run meetings, what should we meet about, how do we follow up, and so on. I can tell you, you would be surprised to be in those kind of meetings. I was, at least, because some of the things that I believed, being a leader for around 20 years now, like meetings, my interpretation of having a meeting, that was not needed at all, I can tell you. It were like, hey, what should we meet about? And it's not about, I realized then that a lot of the meetings was because I thought that people needed to have this type of information and also to align things and to communicate things. Today, 2 years in, we have completely other format of informing each other and communicating. And we are rather into the question now that how do we get out of the meeting as much as possible so we can meet really on a sense response basis. We haven't sorted it out yet, but that is a lot where we are right now. It also comes to this that we often pretend that Agile should have these stand-up meetings, like 10 minutes every morning, like that is the usual way of working. That was not, at least that didn't fit us. And we find other type of ways of doing stuff. And then it could also be like this for one of the tasks that we were exploring and trying to reinvent on. It might be completely other type of perspective that we needed to come in. Because before, it was more that we came from having roles. So we had an offering manager. We had someone who was in for marketing, for example. And now we started to see that, yeah, this type of maybe product development need a bit of a flavor from the marketing. And how do we bring that in? So the whole exercise is about how to bring in different type of perspectives. So we are lifting up the collective intelligence. That means that the streams today, having an ambition, measuring the movements, and they need to do some number of movements all the time. So that is what we look into. But we can't predict what will be the movement sitting here in May. What will be the movement in October, because we know that we will know so much more and the world has changed. So it might be something that we have no clue about. And that is also one of the things we have learned. We can't predict the future. We can't control it, because when you start to control, then you remove, first of all, how people flourish. But coming back to your question upon what is happening in the utter world, right? We will probably miss things and we will not get the best things out.
I was just maybe at this point, just a little, I have a question on what you call movement. Just a couple of clarification questions, because you said a lot. Thank you. This is a lot, you know. First of all, when you speak, I understand, so a stream is like a project-based team, or are they like having a function somewhere else and they're also in the stream, or is it their full-time job? Just to clarify that.
Very, very, very good question. A stream is not a full-time job. Stream is not so show that you are allocated like 50% or 30% to it at all. It's completely autonomous. So if you need me in your movement, then I might be there for 20 minutes. That is the only time you need my perspective. Or I might need to be there for 40 hours this week. Next week, I will join something else. But the thing is, this is not line management. There is no one who is deciding how much I will contribute to the different streams. I move myself.
I see. So people.
But I can't be in a stream without contributing.
Okay.
So it's completely built on democracy and where you have your curiosity and where do you want to learn. So you appoint yourself.
Can you give an example of a stream, or like maybe that people can easily understand? Maybe I don't know about the strategy, because they must be related to some strategic objectives, I imagine.
Yes, of course they are.
Goals that you want to deliver. If there is a business example, people can just connect their mind to, so they say, okay, I see, I can almost touch it with my mind. It's not too confidential, of course.
Yeah, so one of our streams are how to improve customer experience.
Okay,
the objective are to improve customer experience, right? Customer experience consists of so many different things, and we can't do everything. There's very, very few rules connected to these streams. But one rule are that it needs to be a top three focus. You can only focus on three things at the same time. Because to really get things through, you also need to stop doing things. So that is like one. So if we go in for the improving customer experience, one of the things that has been a wish from our customer has been to see their full engagement with us across all of our home markets. Then we know that that is a demand. Then the stream comes together, the ones that are connected, and that could be offering, it could be marketing, probably me too, with my perspective, and probably someone from sales organization or additional. And then we think about what will truly be the best thing right here, right now, to build something based on the customer demand. Then we decide that we try this off. Of course, we have a vision regarding what could be a great movement. And in this case, there was one delivery done. And it was different type of phases dependent on where we were in the development. One of the things that has been done on the CX is to create a tool for our customer where they can see all of the engagement with Telia, no matter where they are in our footprint. So we have built this type of online portal. And that is like coming into everything from like the infrastructure into how we are monitoring what the customer has bought and so on. So it's really a cross-discipline delivery. And that meant that when we started off, it was some people working on it based on the competencies. Then we needed something more and then it evolved. So it's a huge difference to run a project, because in the project, that those are often, even if they are agile, they are from the beginning set that we need this type of, first of all, money. And of course, we need to understand the money, because we also have like a limited amount of money. So we need to place the money right, correct? But then it's about resources. And often in projects, we tend to say, okay, I need one architect, I need one project manager, I need one system developer, and I need one UX and so on. And that is not how we, and then you often also allocate them based on percentage, right? And then you do a plan. There's no plan in this, first of all. There is no like, I need a UX 20%. Maybe I need a UX exactly in the phase when we have come to detailing the customer demands. Then we can try it out with the UX. But that person might be needed just for half a day, 1 week, and then that person can go. Because it also becomes extremely linear of having the resource planning in that way. And often, the people know them best. They know best how to prioritize if they have a clear objective of what is the ambition and how do I create value in the best manner. I don't know if that is a practical example.
Yeah, that's very clear example. So I understand it's a stream, or it's a movement that addresses a cross-organizational business challenge, but it's not run as a project, as a cross-company project, which would be a classic way. Many companies do that, but it's run more as a movement. And so it means that there is no allocated budget in the first place. There are not people having a role in it, fixed role in it. It's much more fluid. It's addressing a cross-functional challenge, but not through a project, in a way that is much more open, that is based on an ambition, that is based on measurables. You measure the movement, so you're measuring something. We're going to get to it. There is a clear output, the output being a platform, a new service, a new tool, something very concrete that includes people from different divisions, different entities, different silos. In that context of this stream, they came together to create that offer, that new service, and on the basis of what is required, and also on the basis of their interest. That's also what is interesting, that is not at all a classic way to think. I understand it's based also on people's energy and in own interest to contribute. How is this facilitated? Is there like a platform or a marketplace? Like, how do people know that they may be needed in this? How people express their need to the others that, hey, we need a UX guy to come and join us now? How is this communication happening? Is it only informal? Is it formalized somehow? And is there a host or a facilitator of the whole thing or a leader?
First of all, it is facilitated by, we call it a stream leader, which is not a line manager. And that has been the second rule. It can't be a line manager. So it's facilitated with someone from the stream that wants to do it. And we have said that 6 months is like what you sign up for. And because it takes some time to come into the role. So the stream leads, those are meeting first of all once a month, like in a bit more formal context when we are looking into the movements, where do we have dependencies, because a lot of the benefit that we would like to achieve and where the values relies are actually to cross, to take down the silos and create transparency information and to share perspective. Because often it goes like this, that one stream could think that even if they are gathering a lot of perspective, we know what we know, right? By having someone working with something completely else might be the magic into the stream. So there's formal meetings once a month looking into progress of the stream, progress and risk and what type of support they need. So that is how it's led. And you had so many questions. What else did you want to know?
I don't know, I can remember everything. I was saying, how is it?
Yeah, there is an engagement platform. You asked upon how.
The platform. How is this marketplace? How between, on one hand, the needs for contribution and on the other hand, the people who may have skills and interests.
Exactly. So the second thing are that we have built an engagement platform, which is a digital platform where you can see all of the movements in the stream. So the stream are showing all of the movements that they are working on. They also have, you can see all of the people working on the tasks in the stream or in the movement. So you can see them. Based on that one, you can see the progress of the movement. So you can jump in also to an activity when you want to. Then we also have in this platform, like an area where you can ask for support. We also have an area where you can say that I have a stop that we can't solve. And that is something that I look into together with the line manager, that how can we all of the time remove barriers for the stream to go on. But then we have two other things that I find extremely important when it comes to learning. It is about getting to know what do my colleagues know, because we seek for wisdom. That is what we are after. We have two formal things, and one is called Get to Know. We are running that bi-weekly. It's a 30 minutes Friday session where we have an open space for people to share what they think is good knowledge for others to take part of. And that could be whatever. So that is like completely open. You can call it like an open stage if you go into maybe a poetry or something like that. So the open stage goes on Fridays. And then, of course, if you have a topic and I get more information upon the topic and I learn, then I also understand that, wow, I have a thought about this. I talked with this person through my stream or through my network. And then we connect. And then the people connect themselves. So a lot of things happen by just open up what we are working on. And then we have one thing that is formal that I'm holding. And that is monthly when we are getting all of us together. First of all, I share all of the movements we have done and where do we stand as a business unit? What is the result? So that is very much on what we have contributed with. So everyone knows exactly and get the holistic picture connected to the strategy and how everything comes together. So I'm doing like the jigsaw once a month. But then I also open up for something called learning circles, which is a way of getting people even more connected together. We have a methodology of bringing up topics. Sometimes I might have a topic that I think is important for all of us to discuss and learn and be curious about. It might be connected to customer experience that we need to become a bit better into. It might be a problem that I see that I need help on to have more thoughts around. How do we collaborate better? Could be a question that I might have. Then we place ourselves into learning circles with 6 people in each of them. And those are completely random. So you actually go out of the streams, you go out with new contact, and then you learn and listen, learn and listen, learn and listen. And based on the learn and listen, all of the learning circles, they are taking out the best principles that they have found during this session. And this session could be for half an hour, 4 to 5 minutes. And then we draw all of them and then we do a best principle. These are the 10, 15 best principles to collaborate. And then we bring it out to all of the people. That is one of the way of, first of all, creating collective intelligence, because by creating collective intelligence, then people also start to see, okay, Michael is talking about this one. I'm curious. I know something. I can enlighten him regarding it. I can help out and I'm empowered to do it. So we work on it in several ways.
And I see that you also spoke a lot about the importance of meetings. You have a new culture around meetings. That could be a full topic in itself. Meetings, it's two ways, you know. In a traditional way, there would be a manager running a meeting. But say there's someone who runs the meeting, who designed the meeting or not designed, but there's a meeting and there's a kind of a leader. But there are also participants. There is also the way you participate changes the meeting. So there is not only the way you lead, but also the way you participate. In my opinion, both are equally important. Of course, the facilitation has more impact because it influences the way people participate. But building this new meeting culture, this collective intelligence mindset and behavior, how do you do it? And I think we can shift to the program that is beneath the culture change program that you have implemented to support the creation of the streams and to create this new culture, this new way of working. I understood that you have created this program with five dimensions, which you call five rooms. So five core skills or areas of growth and people development. That is the journey that you people are invited to, if they want to participate in. And through that, they will build the capacity, the culture for functioning in streams, if I understand. I think it's very interesting, and especially how you have picked those five areas of growth. Shall we talk about that now?
Where to start? Let us go back to 19 October. My team asked me, so what is like the vision for when the focus for 2020? And I said, 2020 will be the year of learning. I was also extremely curious myself to understand how do we become a learning organization, because I felt a big need for working a lot with individual development or self-awareness or self-leadership. I felt that that doesn't resonate good with the system that is built on more or less control. So those becomes like plus and minus. So I took time, tried to learn everything about learning organizations myself, and how do we redesign and how do we go from more ego state into ecosystem for real, and what is like ecosystem for real and what is networks and so on. So I fall in love with Peter Senge. His thought resonated extremely well to me, and I had this kind of aha, we call it in Sweden. It was like, wow, it opened up a new perspective for me, and I realized that I need also to change the system, to use his words, and I like those words too, because it is systems, people create systems, right? I took a lot of inspiration from him, built in some of the things I had done before, some of the thoughts that I did have, some of it was completely unknown. I'm still developing this learning platform. It consists of five rooms. The rooms are, first of all, coming to why, what is like the purpose and the direction and why are we doing this and what do we need to do as a organization. So that is the first room, the purpose of this, where we started off. And here we started off actually some years before with the team. They all created the why themselves. That is our direction every day. That is how we are making the decision, and that is how we are coming together. So it really becomes the compass for us in our daily work. It's very, very simple, but it took time to do it because you need to embody things. You can't just have it on a paper. So we spend time on this why. Then it's about second room are me. It comes to how do I become the best me? We are all builders and creators ourselves, and that is one of the great things coming back to our previous discussion with streams versus project, because what is happening in a stream is that you easily kill things that is not making sense. In a project, you can push it like it's hard to kill your darlings. In a stream, there is not a big decision from the beginning. Then you easily can see this is that doesn't work. Then we take another route. That is like some of the super huge benefits of running. Like,
you mean that people are less attached to things? So they are less attached to their own ideas, is what you mean?
I think we will always be attached to our how we are creating stuff, right? We will always be, but I think we are embodying it so much more when we do a business case with all of the resources that should contribute. We have linearly decided what to be done and when and so on. Then we are also stick to a decision from the beginning. So it's like, it's not super easy to change.
I understand. And in what way working on the me is related to that? So in what way I would be more or less rigid if I work on the me?
On the me, we talked about, we learned a lot about our bias. Mm-hmm. So we deepen our bias. We have done a lot of things, just to mention some few of them. The bias looked into where is our strength, core quality quadrant, a magical tool to use in a organization. That is at least what we have learned. And our defense system, where are my defense system and what make me react on several things. Where's my values, curiosity, And how do I seek perspective? Because everything comes in from learning. You need to be extremely open and listen and have the curiosity for perspective. So that is like the me room. And of course, you can go into the me, and that is like a session by itself, Michael. I think you can go about like me is physical, it's emotional, spiritual, and it's like mentally. So you can work on it's several layers in the me. But coming to the third room, that is we or us. And here it's all about how do we create the collective intelligence. What we trained ourselves in is radical collaboration, curiosity, connections, how do we connect and how do we reflect. Here you find the learning circles that I told you about before. Here we also talk about the relationship, because what we are moving away from, maybe we should stop talking about role descriptions and instead talk about relationship descriptions. That is what we do. And practically, we did it last week. We had one session and then we looked into, since we talk a lot about customer experience and that is our aim as a unit, we placed ourselves in physically in the customer experience journey. How do we contribute? And where is my handover? And then I meet handover. You can't see it on when you're listening now, but where do I find the hand to really grab out of my task? And then we also did a stakeholder where we looked into 360, and that you do by physically moving around and see, like visualizing, where is my stakeholders here? Then, of course, we go into me. The me room. Now I move into the me room so you understand a bit how we do. What we did in the second phase then are to look into, then we go into actually a meditation, a guided meditation, and see, okay, visualize a really good relationship that you do have. And oftenly they tend to go private. That starts to create some type of emotion in us. What are the characteristics in these type of relationship? Why is it working well? How am I behaving? How is the other one behaving? Then we take that feeling and the knowledge of the personal, oftenly then, relationship that is positive. And then we bring that into the business context and think about, where's my relationship with the 360 that I do have? And what can I do to improve? And then we play around with different type of perspective, you know, like having this type of three perspective. I am the one. If I have a relationship that is not working so well, why do I feel like that? And then I go and I swap shares and I go into the other person and sharing that perspective by myself. And then I take the neutral perspective together with an observer. That is like super practical of how we are bringing some of the thoughts live. And we are taking time to this.
Just a quick, now this is the trainer part of me that is very engaged.
That happened physically in the room.
That happened physically.
The first time,
because you need a people in the room to do that. What I hear you talking about, you're talking to heart intelligence, connecting to the heart and priming an emotion of the heart centered, and then you bring it into your stakeholders and you say, okay, how would that be if I can have a relationship based on the heart with them?
Yes.
And then you role play them and how it would feel for them. You're bringing different training methods in there, from systemic heart math, from mindfulness. There's a lot of stuff there. It's quite impressive that how you mixed all this to make it very practical and experiential and then transformative for the people.
So the whole platform is about, first of all, understanding research, mm-hmm. and then doing stuff and feeling it. Because I believe that this whole thing about the lifestyle and reinvent is to connect mind and hearts. It's only 30 centimeters, right? But it's probably the longest journey we will do in our life. Here we met, because this was the first time that we could meet after Corona. So we haven't met each other since this October 19, and we met each other like the previous week. So then we took time to work on our relationship and to really meet ourselves. So that is the we room. The fourth room are focus. And focus, you can have a lot to do with how am I staying present and being here and now. Because we know by now that our mind is also what we see out there. The in and out are connected to a wholeness, right? Then we have also learned about neuroscience, which I think is also super good science to be a bit aware of, to know how is the brain working. And what I see outside is actually a mirroring of myself inside, I creating the world. So neuroscience is thinking about, we have also like, to mention just some more things, currency. We talk a lot about our currency as humans, which is time, money and attention. How do I play those? And those comes into the last room, that is teaming. So connecting currency to teaming, we have this focus. You need to have three focus. We have no hierarchical organization chart anymore. We have all of us in networks, and people are often in more than one network. They can be in several. Line managers are line manager. They are responsible for working environment. They are responsible for personal development and the salary discussions. This one, we took out the self-managing or the teaming, we took out in May 2020, and we did a reorganization, which was a bit shaky as a leader, I can tell you, since we were into Corona too, that are we able to do this change? But we thought that now we actually do this type of change, because the platform we took out in February, March, then it was built. So it was a perfect timing. So some of the teams, coming back to your question then in teaming, some of them are completely self-governing, which means that they don't really have, the connection they have to, like, the previous hierarchical organization or usual or traditional is the line manager that is having these three responsibilities. Otherwise, they are organizing their work themselves and designing based on the movements. One of the things that we also trained a lot in here, except what we have already talked about, is the seek advice, and that is how we are making decisions. So it's very clear for these streams what they can make decision upon, and that is pretty much, actually. But they need to, before making decision, they need to seek advice. And seek advice is actually to go into people with other type of perspective. We become wiser as an organization. And by doing this, we are building up the collective intelligence.
Thank you. You also said something very important, I think, for our audience. That is, how does it work with the management? And because we started saying that Telia is a company that has been there around for so many years and is, you know, rooted in a legal system and in a contracts with people have a jobs and employment contracts. So the managers are still in charge of the financial aspect, the salary, the bonus system, and the legal aspect of the job.
Absolutely.
And then the operations, the work. People are self-organized to do the work. That's what I understand. And the manager doesn't interfere on that part. So he's managing the legal relationship, but not the working operational relationship, in a way.
Leaders are not the knowers. The leaders are the supporters or the learners. And that is, it's like, then you're moving around in this room. So I just gave one example, right? What is super interesting to see is, like, it's hard. Sometimes I feel it's very hard to describe this because it's like, how do you really describe the culture? It's the differences between if you go into a yogurt, if it's like a sour cream or if it doesn't taste good, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but if I look into the result, because of course we are a business unit. So if you go into the result and see, does this make sense and so on? Of course, we deliver on our, like, the result that we are supposed to do. Sometimes you deliver above and even better based on that you're removing, like, the goals in a sense. And of course I'm reporting those, but we don't have it. We have another way of working on those. But if I look into how people feel and how satisfied they are, it's amazing to see the result.
How the managers, I guess the population of the managers is key, because you say they are here to serve the people, they are no more deciding on the operations. How is it working for them? Do they go to the same program or do they have a separate program? Or I guess in many companies, this is a big question, because if the managers don't play that game, then it would be more maybe difficult to implement that way of working.
I think some it will fit and some it will not fit. Mm-hmm. Maybe also based on the level of control that you think you need to have, because this is a question of control, how much you are willing to release. Personal development is truly personal development, so I don't think there's a recipe that fit mm-hmm. everyone's. We have spending a lot of focus into our own personal development, so that is why a line manager work a lot with the personal development.
Okay.
And that comes into the me room, so it's both like collective awareness that we are building up through this platform of, for example, defense system, because if you talk about leaders, might be a defense system that, oh, what does it mean for me? What is my role? And so on. So we work on that together as a team, but we also work on it individually, of course.
Okay. There is like a space for people to talk to someone like a coach
or to their line manager. Because the line manager roles are like setting the direction it is to remove the barriers so people can work as best as possible. And that comes to, you are the tool, right? Because we are people. Mm-hmm. But it also comes to things in the organization or other stuff that is outside yourself.
I think we could stay more time on this, but I'm curious to other questions. And if I'm somewhere elsewhere in Telia and I want to work with your business unit, and how is that working for the people outside? Because you say, you started by saying we pay attention to the interface and the connector with the rest of the organization. So how is that working? And two, what are the results? Can you already, I'm sure you can, but measure the result of the business results of this way of working? Because I'm sure if it works well or better, then everybody's happy. But you kind of need to have at some point some proof point, especially if the interfaces are a bit lost or it's a new, it's different for them. So they would need proof point that this is working better. So one, result, and two, interfaces.
So let's start with the interfaces. First of all, everyone, since it's open, everyone can join. Since we work like across the whole company with all countries and are in all countries, we work a lot in collaboration with others. So I think that maybe it's not seen outside as you are a part of a stream. Since we are so dependent, we work integrated with them. So, and I think that is like the next step. Then it will not be streams at all. Then it will be like even more direction, and people are coming together to co-create when we have lifted up everything that is like you are appointed to a specific task, because a lot of it has to do with your role. As long as when we do a frame around a person or a unit, we directly say that there's boundaries. So today, we as an organization, we already, like, it's like, it's hard to describe, but it's like, if we need to work with you, for example, and we see that you are super beneficial for our work, we will reach out because we need you in. And then what is working together? Is that to having a discussion like this, so you are sharing the perspective so I could proceed, or is it so that I'm dependent on you doing something? Then of course I need to agree that we need your help. Can we do it or not? And if the answer will be no from you to do it, then we need to find another path to go. So I think that it's like networks. This is how networks work, that it also comes to that you see a benefit of contributing, but it also is that you have something to bring to the table that is important for you. And then since we are working, for example, on customer experience, it's also, of course, everyone wants to improve the customer experience. So you want to join. So it's like it's growing by itself and it's happening by itself. It's like a flower that is like putting themselves into the sun, right? So I think that some years ahead, it's probably not even streams this way. It's more or less like movements where people like come together where it makes sense and we remove waste. Because this is not, it might sound like, oh, this is a lot of like way of working and so on. It's not. I would say it's the opposite. It's to remove a lot of the waste for people to do our best job.
Yeah, there is a lot of those.
You know, companies. It's like governance, yeah. Meeting, it needs to go in this, and meetings comes in a certain period of time. But that is not how the world is working. It's complex. Things happen from every day, and you can come with an idea. Next, tomorrow, you know more, right? And then you would like to act on it. So it's truly this type of sense and response.
Pernilla, I know you are very committed with the Inner Development Goals. That is an initiative that is actually coming from Sweden, but it's global. And that's the idea that we have, the UN have created those Sustainability Development Goals for 2030. And this movement, the Inner Development Goals, is saying, well, if we want to reach those, there must be a transformation inside people, in the way we think and we see the world and we see ourselves in that world and how we interact. And they created a set of competence of skills. It's based on science and research. And Peter Senge is part of that, as you mentioned him earlier, but other really big players, I'm thinking of Robert Keegan, I'm thinking of, there are other, Otto Scharmer, etc. So you have a great set of researchers there and thinkers. So I know you are related to that. So maybe I want to ask you, what is the commitment that you're having there and why you having? And maybe you want to say a few things about that, just leave you an open space for.
Yeah, so the IDGs are, as you're stating, they are really levers to work on the SDGs. Because it starts with us, it starts with the choices we are making every day and how we interact with each other. So about how we're engaging and how we're collaborating. And it's for us, Atelia, sustainability is really, really important. First of all, it's integrated in our business strategy and has been for a long while. And also when it comes to people development and so on, but also to contribute to something that is bigger than ourselves. So to join the IDGs as a partner and both to share our experience, but also to learn has been important. So I'm driving that partnership for Telia together with the IDGs. And it's amazing to see how it just have developed during the last year with the like how people are engaging the drive and the energy into it. And it's, as you are saying, it's a lot of research, so it's research-based and same as the platform I have built. Everything is built on research. But it's humans' rights. So that comes to where we started off. Everything is human. Technology need to be humanized. So it's more or less like, how do we bring these two perspectives together?
There is a lot of hope in that, I find, and a lot of... there's a big insight, I think, just stating that... Yes, to reach those systemic changes would start with ourselves.
But we need to have both of the perspective. We can't just go for the inner development. We also need to look into the system perspective. So we are changing both, because otherwise they are not summing up together. At least that is my view. They don't sum up together. We can't fix only the inner development goal without fixing the system.
Would it be the other way around? Can I fix the system without fixing the inner development goals?
No, I don't think so. Because then it would, I don't think so. I think they go hand in hand, because then if we are not fixing the inner development or the self-awareness or whatever we call it, we will never function in a system that is like truly open, I would say.
Yeah, okay, yes, I'm with you. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, so all this that you're doing, this new approach and the streams and this culture you're creating. One word about the outcome. It's difficult to measure a result when you change, because you cannot really. There is no comparison. You cannot change. You can compare to the past maybe, or you can compare to others. But it's more like what people feel or sense, or the way they appreciate the performance. In that perspective, what is your experience?
Yeah, so actually it is, that has been of course a question, because the business results, they are pretty easy to see, right? And so I see it in the business result, first of all, so that is very visible. But then when it comes to how people feel engaged and empowered, we have this type of, as many companies have, how we are measuring that. So I can actually see it. Then it's hard to see like what is coming from what then. But if we just go into some of the results, a year, when we were a year in, we are 2 years in now in May for the whole platform to be implemented. And then we have developed a lot into it. A year in, around 90% of all of the employees said that they felt that they created more values than they did before we had done this change.
Okay.
90%. And that is how, coming back to the mind and heart, I think that is truly one of the most important things, that we feel that we create value. And then we have this type of employee survey where we look into our overall engagement. And if I look into that one, which I had maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago, I can see that is very visible in the figures. If I look into recognition, how we feel that we are recognized in this team, we had an increase compared to 1 year back. And then I have already moved up 90%, thought that it was better than it was before. we have jumped up 13% in a year about feeling recognized as human in work. And then you can ask yourself, yeah, but if you don't have the direction, like in this daily with the typical goals and KPIs and so on, is how do people feel about it? But that is the same, actually. We have super huge increase too when it comes to people feel that they have a direction in what to do. They have a clarity. That is over 90% in this team. The empowerment in the organization is 91. 91 of the people feel that they are empowered to do their job right. And they feel that pretty much the same amount too feel that my daily work contribute to bigger purpose. So it is truly visible. And then you can ask yourself about the leadership. How do they see the line manager? And that is also over 90%. Oh. 93% okay. is how okay. they feel supported okay. by their leader. Yeah. So yeah. I think the result is there.
The result is there, for sure. I think yes. it's nice to say it. And it's good to hear.
But I'm here. I'm running a business unit, right? This is a way of also creating the result because it's people.
How many people, by the way, are involved in those streams in total? More or less, it represents how many people? We didn't ask.
I don't know in the overall streams because today we have expanded the streams. You asked if I had the streams for other units in how you could join, and you can in Telia. But today I have expanded, so I have streams that goes externally even.
Yeah. Okay.
On some of the topics, so I have a leadership stream that I have created together with a big company where we are collecting leaders that would like to learn more upon how you build sustainable. So it's hard to say dependent on where does the network starts and ends.
Yeah, where does it stop
growing
and end?
Every day. Yeah, where does okay. it stop as an end? I can't tell, but I don't know. But in the organization that I'm holding, that is 60 people.
Okay.
And then it's like everyone that are around.
Okay.
I don't know, and I wonder if that is even. I don't even want to know. It's okay. like
yeah.
It goes as it needs to become.
That's the magic of networks. You don't even know what's happening.
No.
You don't control
no.
anything.
You yeah. can't control it.
You can't
so.
Control it.
No.
Look, I would like to end this and ask you this little exercise or this little challenge I like to give to my guest. That is you speaking directly to the audience. And if I can give you a line of thought, what would be your, in the people listening today, they are probably leaders or change makers. They are thinking of their own company, their own team, their own department, their own whatever, NGO, their own organization. And maybe they have been inspired by what you said, and they maybe also been a bit overwhelmed because that's a lot of things that you said and a lot of innovation in terms of organization. And they wonder, okay, what could be the next step for me? Where to start, what could be a next step, could be a simple next step I can do now, and then, you know, to keep walking, to keep moving towards something that is more, an organization that is more adapted to complexity, that is more adapted to a systemic thinking, and maybe also that is a place where human can thrive and or sustainable. So I would like to leave you alone for a minute, and that's you speaking directly to them. I will cut my mic, remove my headset. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so here we go.
So how to start? I think it comes to yourself, and where do you feel that you have a curiosity or pain for something? Just start there. Start in yourself, because it needs to come from you as a leader. And then when it comes from that type of source in yourself, then it's easier just to do it and try it off. There is no map in this. There's nothing that is like to be controlled. Just try it off where it makes sense for you. Reach out to others, and we are all in a network together. Thank you.
Pernilla, thank you so much. for your time, for your presence, for all your energy, your innovation, your inspiration, for modeling also something completely new, and for trying. For trying hard, you're really innovating in the field of what it means to be human people together, doing something, creating. There's so much to invent there, and I think you do it with the right, with a very deep level of consciousness and awareness, and also of you're demanding with yourself, and you do it with the best research, the best tools you can find. You did a big journey yourself to of your self growth and exploration to get there. So that's wonderful.
And that is maybe the last thing to add, that it's actually start with yourself, and it is a big journey with yourself. And when it comes to the me, of course, the most of the effort has also been to work on me for myself. To be the best, to be the best me, and to be the change that I would like to see. I love Mahatma Gandhi's wordings on that. But that is a journey too. But it's really, really fun. It's super fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's meaningful and fun.
It's meaningful and fun. It is. It is. Thank you, Michael, for having me. Thank you so much for, I love this conversation, and sometimes it's very hard to find like the words, because this is like coming from a source, and it's hard to describe with a handicraft, I think, that is more or less like how I do stuff. And culture is hard to touch, right? It just exists there. It's an everyday job, actually.
I heard in the way you speak, there are elements of, there's a language, a very clear language with the words, like with distinctions like movement and stream and rooms, and all this language helps to carry meaning and helps to carry the culture. And you are not afraid to create a language. I think that's very interesting, by the way. And there's always a downside, like how do we make this understandable for the people who are not in? But I think you need the courage to go there and still and then translate and being open and inviting, which you did. And then you also have a structure. There is a structure. The stream are a structure, it's an open structure, but still is a structure. There are some contracts. We have people understand how to navigate. There is enough structure, not too much, but enough structure for these to work. So it's not that there's no structure. There is structure. There's a lot of structure actually underneath. That is holding the whole. And so we should not misunderstand that. It's important to understand there's another way to think structure that is not a pyramid, but it is more a network, but it is a structure.
Yes, it is a network structure.
It's absolutely a network structure. And and there are some rules to it. There are some principles to make it work. So it's not at all a chaos. That's very, very clear. There is a lot of implicit in there. The values are that are spread and the working principles that are behind.
And you need to focus on the structure. You need to focus on completely other things when you are building networks compared to how you probably are managing in a more hierarchical when it comes to collaboration. How do we show appreciation? What is the rules behind people? But the biggest difference are truly to get out of the control act, that there is a leader or a manager maybe even to tell you what to do and to measure exactly, have you done this? Have you done this? It's a completely other way of turning around the culture.
And I love the idea of platform, because a platform is a place of exchange. This is because there's a platform, because there's an intention, there are some principle in that network. And also the last thing I find very interesting is the way you see currencies, that you mentioned currency, which is wealth. What we exchange is money, time, and attention. I love to see attention as a currency. It's super interesting. Also, that's one of the assets we can share. We can only, there is money and time. These people understand pretty well, but attention, it's another way to think. And it's a distinction that enables us to better understand what we can do and how we can navigate work,
and now Michael, now I shared some examples of attention, but we have truly trained ourselves into attention. How do you attend with presence? What does that mean? And then we have, that is happening in like daily work at meetings. How do we run our meetings with attention? So all of these are extremely practical done, but it's like done instant where it's happening. So here we have probably the fourth rules. There is no computers in our meetings. Email is like the last channel to use for communication. So now you hear more, it's like several things in this culture.
Vanilla, thank you. We end here. Thank you very much for being with with us. Maybe we do another podcast in the future. I think there will be, we could dig in a lot of those topics. Thank you everyone for your attention. I hope you got a lot today, and be good and stay healthy, stay energized, stay focused and present. Bye everyone.